He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and intrepid videographer.
Oh, breaking from the alliteration, I see. And he is Aubrey Goodman, web dev services, iOS, pretty much anything that requires or involves code and other things like that. And peruser of practical programming?
You're
stretching.
Peruser
of pragmatic programming? I don't know. Something like that. That's what we're going to call you today.
Okay.
And we call this show Distilled, where we talk about technology, design, and random ass topics other than that that we attempt to wrap back in and have a shred of relevancy. If you want to grab the podcast, you can go to the website at I am really struggling today. Distilled Radio, yes. Or distilledpodcast.com.
You
can grab us on Twitter at Distilled Radio. And you can follow me on Twitter at JWD2A and Aubrey at Aubrey Goodman. Also, if you want to hear us talk about something on the show, which we finally had people chime in on, just hashtag that on Twitter with Distilled Topics as the hashtag, and we will find that. So upcoming, we do have some... a new topic about remote work, and
yeah,
we may actually try to do a remote call in.
Oh, that
guest.
That would be extremely
to make
interesting.
It very apropos. I think
so you have been following our.
Oh yes, I lurk in the shadows of my own creations. That's sort of how I do. I also want to just draw your guys' attention to make sure you're paying attention to the next couple podcasts, because I'm getting ready to release my UX course, and I am going to be giving out a discount code
Easter
for
eggs.
All you Distilled listeners to get a fairly nice discount off of it if you would like to take my course on UX. So pay attention to the next couple episodes, and I'll be dropping that.
Suddenly, Justin has become a, I guess I'm going to say, history professor. Because, you know, your course on the U.S.
Yeah, great. Just what we need. Me trying to recall facts.
Oh, dear
Not
God.
A good idea. No, this is 10 hours of pontification. So, anyway, that's that. And we're joined today by Greg Hilferding. And we're going to talk about an event coming up in Tampa. Well, not in Tampa. Across the entire globe.
No, not just in Tampa.
Everywhere. In fact, it's not limited to this planet. But we have a little problem getting the marketing outside of the boundaries of it.
Well, actually, we're looking to launch next year the solar system water fight.
Solar system water
but
fight.
This year, we're just targeting the world water
the
fight.
The world water fight. Awesome.
Right. Last year, there was a thing about this, too? Yeah.
No, not last year. A few years ago.
A few years ago, that's what it was.
A few years ago, someone did a national water gun fight, and it got a lot of attention, and we ended up doing in Tampa a local event, and we got a bunch of people together and held our own version of the national water gun fight. And then nothing happened with it for years.
Hmm.
So, it seems like such a fun idea.
Yeah. Everyone had such a blast. I had ended up putting together a website for it when it first happened a few years ago. Tons of people visited. Lots of people participated in the event. And then the folks that came up with it kind of fell off the map and never put it together again. So this summer, we said, it's time to do it again. It's time for grown-ups to run around with water guns.
I love it. That almost sounded like a trailer. This summer, it's time for grown-ups to run around with water guns.
In a town where grown-ups are allowed to carry super soakers.
World water fight.
Exactly.
I like it.
See, now I feel like a trailer has to be made for this event.
I know, right?
You know anyone in video production?
Just a silhouette going from someone's feet up. And it's just a silhouette of them holding two super soakers down to the side.
Yeah. So how many super soakers do you have?
How many do I have?
Yeah.
I don't currently have any, but that's going to be changing quite obviously.
It's a terrible answer.
Yeah. So what happens on World Water Fight? I mean, so this happens on August 9th.
Yes. August 9th, the basic idea is that everyone who knows about the event leaves their house in a white t-shirt that either says blue or red on the front of the shirt, and they are hopefully carrying some means of self-defense in the form of a super soaker or water balloons or whatnot. And you go around and find other people wearing the other team, and you represent your team by, of course, soaking those other people.
I love it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the basic idea. Now, of course, if a bunch of people do that, you'd need, you know, I don't know, in the U.S., maybe 150 million people to do that for you to have a chance to find someone else
right.
on the streets
just randomly on the
who
street.
Are doing
in Publix.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, maybe not in
you're just grocery shopping. And
is this an outdoor activity?
Is
have
this
we decided?
Predominantly an outdoor activity.
No, no.
If
no.
you choose to go indoors while dressed in the garb, then I think you're just asking for it. No, the idea is that you can do it anywhere. But clearly you'll have a lot more fun if we kind of get all the people who want to participate together in one place.
Right.
So there's tools on the website that basically says if you want to host an event, all you have to do is find a public park, make sure that water guns are allowed there.
Mm-hmm. Are there parks where water guns aren't allowed? Is that a thing?
I hope not.
So pretty much all parks allow water guns.
Right.
The real question is water balloons. Most parks,
oh, because they break and leave plastic.
They break and right. leave plastic on the ground, and then most places do not want water balloons on their property.
And water cannons that are towable by a vehicle?
You mean water artillery.
That's right. Water artillery.
Water heavy munitions.
Yeah. Well, depending on the launching mechanism, you may run into trouble there. I mean, as long as it's maybe air-powered, I think that'd be okay.
Got
but
it.
If depending on how you're doing that, you might want to...
Nice.
Oh,
so get giant CO2 canisters and an old like aircraft carrier pom-pom cannon and put right. just
exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be.
You could use the recoil from the one to load the other.
Yeah.
And then make a whole mechanism out of it.
Yeah, a semi-automatic.
Right. So then you have a semi-automatic
water
artillery.
Yeah. So
this
clearly
needs to be built. Obviously. Yeah, this,
I mean, and that's the thing is that once you start realizing. I mean, when you're a kid, the water gun fights that you get to have are pretty much, you know, whatever lame little plastic water gun
right.
that you happen to get. But as an adult, I mean, there is so much more you can do.
Yes.
So it's natural to keep doing this.
Aren't you cute with your little trigger?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just had a really good idea. We're doing for a few weeks ago or last week. I don't. Time runs together sometimes. Pledge Your Bets, a startup here in the Tampa Bay area, pledgeyourbets.com. They run nonprofit fundraiser campaigns to take advantage of sort of the betting concept, and you bet against your friends, and whoever wins, kind of a winner take all deal, and all the money goes to a charity. They did a bowling tournament. I guess last week or the week before, and all three of us were there. I was there in spirit watching and not bowling, sadly. But that, I was thinking their next event is a cardboard regatta.
Yes.
So I now think maybe at some future point, I don't know, it must happen. It simply must happen. We need to do a cardboard battleship battle. So you build a cardboard battleship, and then you incorporate into it super soaker cannon technology to try and melt the other boat so that they sink before you do.
I like this idea.
You
torpedoes?
Know,
how would that work? I don't know how.
Yeah, I didn't see anything in the rules for the regatta prohibiting water guns from being used.
That's a good point.
That's a very
so
good
we
point.
Could make a pirate
I mean,
ship.
I feel like this should have been discussed. I feel like this should have been discussed not while being recorded.
Right.
And not while being shared with other people.
Oh, no.
Because clearly that would have been a fantastic idea to have
we're
water
lucky.
Guns.
We're
to attack
lucky.
The other cardboard boats to make them sink faster.
See, that's the best part is there's no on-air sign.
Yeah, and, right. and guess what?
Live.
Nobody listens to this show anyway,
yeah,
so it's not like
that.
Anyone's going to hear it.
There's that.
Yeah.
All three listeners all don't live in the state.
No.
Gotcha.
Our parents are decidedly out of town.
Actually, my parents don't even listen.
If there was a way to really accurately judge a water gun fight, then I think that'd be a great thing to do with Pledge Your Bets, too.
Mm.
But
well, no, I mean, the point is that like you win when you're the last boat standing.
Right.
And so it becomes like a posturing play so you can maneuver so that you're not getting, right. you're not easily shot at.
Right.
And then like come across the bow and soak the bow and it's like, oh no, we're sinking.
So you're actually discussing like you want to use like right, modern naval techniques
right.
with this cardboard, right, cardboard yes. boat battle.
Yes. Yeah. Modern dogfighting techniques.
Maybe we can call it like the hunt for red herring or something.
Hunt for red herring.
I don't know.
You know what? Speaking of, like, there's no way to judge water fights. I actually have a way we could do this.
Really?
Yes.
I am all ears.
Could we, in the shirts, probably not for this year, because this might require a fair amount of technology to be built, but use an Arduino or Pi or something like that attached to a moisture sensor that gets put in the center of the shirt, and the drier shirts win.
So, but that would have to be a gradient, because what I thought you were, for a second, I thought you were going for like the battle group thing where you get shot and it freezes your
right,
suit,
yeah.
so you get your just points out like
yeah.
wet or not wet is like dead or not dead.
Right.
But if you're talking about like a gradient where your the average soakedness of your
right.
team is
yeah.
the winner.
Because then it's like if you get bombed by a water balloon, like
yeah.
that's serious casualties.
That's seriously.
Whereas if someone just like sprays you a little bit,
right.
that's not much, right? So
okay.
you can yeah.
So what's
basically like
surface,
your life.
What's the surface
thinking,
area of the sensor?
Wait.
Oh, we're not into that level of detail yet.
You're good at decomposing problems into things that don't need to be solved in that way. And my solution to this is not an Arduino, all that is awesome. I love the idea. Maybe we expand into that at some point. First, let's consider, like, how about if all of the Team Red carries, like, red dye in their water gun so that when they spray the white shirt, it's
oh,
obvious how
I
much
see.
There is.
I see.
Then we can just take a photo and, like, average the color value to do that.
I could see, yeah, if there's some type of, like, you know, some type of red dye that did not make
food
people
coloring.
Go blind if it went into their eyeballs.
Okay. Second, and this gets closer to the Arduino. Shirts, and this may not actually be possible in a 60-day timeline or at all. Water-sensitive dye in the shirt so that when you get shot, the white turns to red.
Yeah.
Or blue.
So, these are ideas.
That is these are ideas
these
that
are
we're sure of.
Some ideas for how to judge a water gun fight.
You now, brought it up.
I know. Well, there is a low tech way that people apparently do this.
Okay.
That I
squeeze out their shirts and
discovered
wave the
on
water?
The internet. No, but
oh, that's
actually that is
that's
actually
an,
the smartest
the best one
that I've heard so far.
I love we're like trying for the hardware. And, well, is there a water sensor? Right. No. Just
the problem
it
though is that more time out on the battlefield, you like heal
you dry
naturally.
It out.
Oh yeah,
because you dry naturally.
So it's really just like casualties at the. It's like
at
the,
at
right.
the
end. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. You have to persistently
so sort of
keep killing people. It's like
nothing.
A zombie water fight.
Wait.
Yeah.
What if we check in periodically throughout the day, and you have to wring out your shirt at like noon
every hour,
and then 3, and then 6.
Well, now I wonder if all the participants would be comfortable taking their shirt off in front of everyone. Mm. I guess they're wearing.
I
a wet,
don't see why
I think they're
not.
Wearing a wet white T-shirt. So
yeah,
whatever's under it isn't unknown to anyone else.
Yeah. So anyway, the other low tech way that was discovered in my research on the internet is that people take like Alka-Seltzer tablets, drill a hole through the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Attach it to a string that the person wears around their neck.
Okay.
And if you get a direct hit.
Oh, so like a kill shot.
A kill shot
causes
your
shirt
to bubble. The thing to start bubbling away.
Right.
Yeah. So.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
So there's maybe something.
That's good.
I mean, that seems like an incredible amount of work to drill holes in Alka-Seltzer tablets.
You do it yourself. Put out a kit that tells them how, where
right.
to buy it.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
Hmm.
I like this idea.
Yeah, I think it might just be more fun to go out and just shoot people with water guns.
Yeah, I mean, you don't necessarily have to win.
That may just be me.
There's
damn it.
There's no incentive to lose or win, is there? Like, what would be the value of winning?
So
like,
I feel
why do we need to measure?
I feel like what we've just discovered, Aubrey, is kind of like a fundamental character of your personality for you to be like, what's the point of winning? Who cares about winning? Aubrey, winners care about winning.
That's right.
So the value is the ability to gloat in, or like ad infinitum.
No, I never said that you have to gloat about it.
No, not have to, but the ability to.
No, I mean just the knowledge that you are better.
That you are better
than the losers.
I see.
You don't even have to tell other people that. That's just something that you can tell yourself when you're going to sleep at night.
I'm awesome at water guns.
Yeah.
I'm not.
That would maybe
be the guy wearing the big bubbly up shirt.
If you want, we can add like a LinkedIn recommendation. Like, is good at water gun fights.
And then, please, I love it. Please yeah. don't.
I'd like
clout,
to get a
clout. Maybe you can give me plus K in that. But
nice.
I'd like to get a drone.
Oh God!
And mount water guns to it.
Just
like strafe across, just like
drop a bomb.
Okay, so there is a hacker space in Tampa, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like after this radio show,
how many days
we're
do we have
to reach out to them,
right?
And
get them to build a water bomber.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to turn into like a scene from like Terminator.
Wait, no.
The future Terminator, not the present. I mean,
yeah,
love it.
That's kind of awful, especially given what Elon Musk just said a couple of days ago about that future. He said I'm kind of afraid of that happening or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. I was thinking, hey, what a great idea to talk about firefighting drones in practice, get some stuff out there. We have plenty of water source. So then, you know, you just have to figure out how to get the drone to fly low enough to scoop up some water out of the river.
Wait a second.
And then go and dump it on the crowd. Well,
but isn't the newest Disney Pixar movie?
We should
Pixar
be able to get
movie.
A grant for that.
Are they doing this? Fighting fires with drones?
Well,
is that a thing that's happening
not
today?
Not drones yet, but...
why not? That's brilliant.
10 years ago, as an example, 10 years ago when I was part of a graduate student helicopter design competition, which we won that year, which was the sixth year in a row that University of Maryland won.
This sounds like a guy who knows the benefit of winning, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I tried to play it back. Dial it back. Part of the challenge that we had, this was right after 9/11, so the challenge that we had was an urban disaster recovery vehicle that part of the challenge was to be able to put out fires in a 100-story building. And that's hard to do with pumps because you basically have to chain like 50 pumps in a row in order to get the water that high up off the ground. And it's not easy at all. So one of the challenges we had was to figure out how we could get large weight and volume of water up high enough. But then the point also is that it has to be aerosol water, like cold.
To be able to direct the
water vapor is what puts out fires, not water liquid.
Gotcha.
If you just toss a bucket of water on a fire, you're a lot less likely to put it out than if you put a little bit of that water in your mouth and just like blow a puff of water, like steam. It's not steam, but you know, like vaporize that. It's far more effective at doing that. I mean, you look at the fire hose and it basically comes out in a big giant foamy spray.
Right.
So we needed to be able to do the pumping to inject the water into the building at, you know, to atomize it, but also the ability to lift it that high off the ground. So we did exactly that with manned flight designs as part of the whole thing. Part of it also was to come up with like a rescue capsule to sort of sit up against the side of the building while people can get into it. And then like you take that off and drop them off at the bottom. And coordinating a fleet of helicopters to do this was part of the design proposal. Which I have the PDF that came out of that. It's a couple hundred pages. It's long and really, really academic. But for anyone who wants that, I can certainly make it available. But I think that this kind of a thing, I mean, that was what we were doing 10 years ago in academia. So why can't we do that? If we can do node copter and like taco copter, we can totally do firefighter copter.
You know what
That's
I think
okay.
it should actually do? It should be a Halon copter.
Oh God!
Like
you were talking about, like the problem of the dye in people's eyes. Halon is just going to suffocate them immediately.
Well,
great.
Right. Well, thanks. You don't do this when people are in the building. You get everybody out, and then you put in like 40 drones into a house, like little bitty drones, that all release halon at the same time. They spread out where, and they're very heat resistant, right? They spread out evenly across the house and then all release the Halon at once. It's like a giant just
Halon bomb.
Halon bomb. The fire just goes shoot.
You could just
out,
call it an
they
H,
all just,
you could just call it an H bomb.
H-bomb yeah. drones. I love it.
In the sense that that would be easier to sell to the public than Halon drones. Yeah, well, all we do is come in
like,
and drop an H-bomb.
So
like,
what does
yeah,
that
okay.
have to do with Master Chief? Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. yeah.
Halo bombs.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. People just suck, don't
yeah.
they? People are dumb. Let's move on from that. So I think there's a plausibility, and I don't know that it's plausible to do it in the 60 days we have left. Not even really.
So you're saying like proof of concept.
Yeah.
Have drones who would actually fill, let's just say like a two or three gallon.
Yeah, bucket. Like a gallon bucket.
Like bucket.
I don't know about three gallons. That's heavy.
In the Hillsborough River. And then fly over the battlefield, identify targets based on the what's on their shirt. And then release the bucket of water so that it lands.
That's like a devastating
on the person,
shot
oh,
right
like,
on that person.
Oh god, like a homing drone that
there
actually senses where the enemies are and just goes to an enemy and just drops water on it.
Yeah,
I bet we can channel some Talos funding.
That's awesome
for this.
Cool.
Well, I mean, like a mission pack that's like a shoulder mount, like a UAV that just takes off from your shoulders, goes and like.
Could you imagine? This is the most terrifying sight ever, by the way. Somebody that walks up with two drones, like UAVs, sitting on each of their shoulders, and they just walk up and you just see, like, that's terrifying.
Well,
it's like the hive man.
Yeah. Yeah, and they immediately fly off, like, off the battlefield, and everyone's like, wow, your technology's stupid. And they're really just flying down to the river,
right,
scooping up water. And then they come and release the payload. And well, I think there's
and just like spray a bunch down.
Yeah, exactly. It's like carpet bombing.
I feel like this there's probably a DARPA project out there for this already.
There's got to be,
or some type of military spending. Because I mean, yeah, you know,
I would like to believe
if it can do that with water, it could do that with
this is
with other munitions.
I've not thought of a project recently that I want to do more than this. I just want a pack on my back with two water bombing drones.
So this summer,
water not
this summer World Water Fight.
Go find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This summer World Water Fight will be very, you know, like normal and tame. But then when we do it again next summer,
next year,
when there's been enough time,
Watermageddon,
for all the hackers to really, really build something for it, then it'll just be completely out of control.
Oh, man. I love this. How much does a drone cost that can carry water?
Well,
I think that's the key problem, actually, is the ability to carry weight.
That's the problem. The weight isn't so much the problem. Weight is okay. Cameras are fine. They put cameras underneath GoPros just fine. You can go buy one of those at a Best Buy for a couple hundred bucks. I think it's like $400 for the nice ones.
The drones?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And they'll do hold, like position hold and altitude hold, and you know, you can point them in a different direction to aim the camera and all that lovely stuff. But when we start talking about carrying water...
Water is heavy.
It's not the heavy part that's the problem.
Oh, I understand now.
It's... Did you see that TED Talk with the acrobatic quad helicopters?
The ability to actually...
The water,
the weight of the water shifts dramatically, so there's a lot of momentum.
Yes.
Mm. Right.
The key is if the vessel is fixed directly to the orientation of the craft, like they put the water, the glass of water, like a wine glass of water on top, and as it moves around, the acceleration of the craft keeps the water perpendicular to the glass, because down is always towards the helicopter,
right?
Because it's producing the up,
right?
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So that's all fine. What happens when that doesn't become fine is when you're suspending something below it that isn't fixed in attitude to the orientation. So a suspended pendular load.
I don't think it needs to be pendular.
That is itself also a fluid. That's where like you get weird coupling, where they'll have like both. I'm waving my hands. Again, I seem to have this problem where I wave my hands showing people who are in the room and not there in Radioland what I'm talking about. But yeah, you got water going one way and the bucket going the other, and the helicopter has to figure out all of that.
See,
and
I would
stay up.
I would A, fix the bucket. I would put two arms down. I'm also showing this with my hands. Mm. And then a bucket in the middle with two servos on the points of connection.
So flip it over.
So it just flips just it over. Just like flips bucket. Over to scoop it up.
Right.
And then and goes then over somebody and flips it over again.
Okay.
Right. So now you eliminate one of the kind of vectors of movement because now the vessel is fixed to the craft. Mm-hmm. You just have to deal with the water sloshing around.
What happens when that... And this is where the whole flight dynamics thing and all that complicated math comes into play. What happens when you tilt the bucket? Where does the center of mass go?
Right.
And how quickly...
Yes.
Does, that like, that means the helicopter has to adjust for the extra weight that's now behind it or in front of it, which is worse. So that's going to affect the targeting capability. So if you're about to fly over someone, there has to be some way of knowing how far to turn it over and how quickly in order to hit them and not let ground after or before them.
I mean, I don't know a lot about physics, but it sounds like this is just a weekend project.
That's what I feel like.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, with enough beers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Sunday afternoon. Well, wait, we could do it Saturday for a geekend.
Awesome. Geekend on the beach, building
water copters. Water bombers.
Water bombers.
And fire putter outers also.
Right, yes.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, this is all just concept work for the fire drones.
No.
Right.
And the H bombs.
The H bombers.
The H bombers.
No. Legally, we're not allowed to operate a unmanned air vehicle at all in a commercial context anywhere for any reason.
Well, that's okay.
Somehow rockets don't count. Like rockets without people in them are not considered under the same jurisdiction as the FAA rules that say...
Yes, I believe it's the Air Force that regulates rockets, rocket launches.
No, I mean, does SpaceX have to get some kind of certification that allows them to do that? Who wrote the test for that?
Was it
Elon Musk? Because that sounds corrupt. No,
right.
I would assume that there was a certification and a security clearance involved with that whole thing.
I'm sure. I mean, it is outer space and all. There's a lot of secret things out there.
Yeah, low Earth orbit, Earth orbit, whatever.
So I think as long as we couch it as a hobbyist project wherein we are studying the effects of...
buckets of water on civilians.
Unsuspecting civilians.
We're studying how to really get our friends.
Right.
Yeah. Good. But that's the other thing. They know us, which makes it not a felony.
Right.
Perfect.
Nice.
I would just
Does that mean
this
we have
on...
to get consent from all of them? I really wish I hadn't said any of that out loud.
And redacted.
I need a redacted filter just to check, just to mark the times when we say that.
Yeah, pretty much.
At some point, the show ends up only being like 30 seconds long.
Pretty much.
Everything's just been redacted.
Yeah, that's actually what we should call the show, is just redacted.
Redacted. Yeah. It has been that.
Just doesn't have a name.
For a while.
Not lately.
We've been really pretty good. In fact, the last episode, we were so good, we only dropped two total cursing words. Two.
Wow, we might get that explicit rating label taken off.
Well, I mean, I add the label, but...
Oh.
It's... Yeah, they don't have nearly enough resources to review everything. No, and one of them was like you said shit, or I said shit. One of us said shit.
Huh. And that's this week. What was the other word, Aubrey?
It was like really early. It was in the intro. So it was like the earliest we've ever cursed in the show. And then somebody, that was me, said fuck later in something else. It was like you were doing something about...
Could you put
stuff, and I said, "You fucking rock star."
could you put this on? Could you run your little, your little toy that analyzes audio and pulls out shit about words, and do like a bunch of graphs just about cursing? Average time when we first curse,
like
most used words, frequency of,
Well, wouldn't that only have value if you could map that against another data set? So you'd have to be like how many beers consumed, when the beers were consumed during the show, that kind of thing.
We could try it by time of day and day of week.
Oh. We're going to have to do a lot of exhausting testing.
Yeah. Well, I guess then that's going to wrap this show up. Make sure to go out for World Water Fight on August 9th of this year. Go to
worldwaterfight.com.
Look at that.
There it is.
I know. And then on there, it has the link to the Facebook event to RSVP. It also has links to all of the local events that people are putting together.
Awesome.
And, of course, you can join the team that you will be representing, red
Love
team
it.
Or blue team. I am the blue team captain.
Blue team captain. Mm. Nice. I'm not sure which team I'm going to play for yet.
Blue
Where
team.
Can people find you on Twitter, by the way?
Who is Greg?
Who is Greg with two G's?
Two G's.
Two yes. G's at the end.
Two G's at the end. Yes.
Not at the beginning.
And
the
total G's.
The aggregate number of G's is 3.
Perfect.
Just like in the word aggregate.
Oh. And in the same.
Boom.
But in the inverse orientation.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for us. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for listening, folks.